Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a content creation studio with the focus on podcasting.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities about their business journeys.
I think it's time now to get to our presenters.
We're going to go to Alex Yancher first with PassportGlobal.com. He's also on LinkedIn. He's the co-founder of Passport, and he has a lot of kudos of his own. Before founding Passport, he served as COO at Pantry and held finance roles at Facebook and Morgan Stanley. So he also advises and invests in startups. So he's no stranger to the entrepreneurial world. And Alex, tell us all about what you're doing now with Passport.
I started Passport about 8 years ago. And before that, actually, one of the companies is a company called Lynx, L-Y-N-K-S. It's a play on words. It was a personal shopping service that helped people abroad buy products from the U.S. And people would take a link, that's a play on words, people would take a hyperlink and drop it into our universal shopping cart. They would buy it from us. We would get the money. We would go on the website, so on Amazon, Etsy, Allbirds, put in our credit card information and our address in Delaware. Reason Delaware, it's a tax-free state, so we would ship everything sales tax-free. And then I ran operations for that company, and it was my job to figure out how to ship products of any shape or size, because we weren't really in control of the link that people would drop into the cart. So sometimes people would want to buy something really small and expensive, like a diamond ring, and then sometimes really big and bulky, like a surfboard. Yeah. And we had to figure out how to ship all those products around the world. And in running ops in that company, I realized that international is so much more than just the shipping. You have to have the regulatory compliance set. So every country has their own version of FDA. Like in Canada, it's called Health Canada, and they have their own rules and regulations, and duties and taxes is another big component to it. Every country has their own tax regime. Right now, it's, you know, we're in the news with our tariff rates and all that. But guess what? Every other country also has tariffs, you know, and you have to know all those rules and regulations. Don't get me started on international returns. That's a whole other beast of a problem to solve.
Holy cow. Yeah, that could be a big problem.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting the stuff back? Almost impossible. So my insight in running ops for the previous company, Lynx, was a lot of these things, they're intertwined. So the company that's delivering the goods physically is also the company that's helping clear customs and assessing the duties and taxes that are owed by the consumer or by the business for that shipment. Now, who's the company that's calculating the duties and tax on the website itself? Well, it's usually not the shipping company, right? You don't really think of FedEx as like a software company that you're using to calculate duties and taxes. And it isn't FedEx, right? But FedEx could be the one that delivers the goods. But there's this horrible disconnect that happens then, because the amount that you ultimately get charged does not always match the amount that you as an e-commerce business is charging the customer, okay? And that's a really big problem, because either a customer is going to overpay or you're going to underpay, and it's going to kill your margin, right? So one insight that I had was that these things should be all under one roof. And the same company that clears customs for you, that does the delivery, should also be the same company that helps you calculate the duties and taxes in your shopping cart. So I started Passport to basically bring the software and the physical logistics services together under one roof, under one company, to give e-commerce merchants like Chris, actually, you know, I'm going to pitch you after this. I'm going to connect with you on LinkedIn, so watch out. And we basically help merchants go global really, really easily in a turnkey manner.
Well, that sounds like a really complex business model, because all of the regulations that you've mentioned, all the different variables, all the different ways something can be shipped. You know, it could be ground transport from Canada, or it could be airshipped, it could be ocean freighter. I mean, how do you manage all of that and still stay sane?
Who said anything about staying sane? So that's where value, I think, in business is unlocked. It's when you can wrangle that complexity and make it really easy for a customer. So from a customer's perspective, it's magic. The amount that our software is telling them to charge their customers in their shopping cart, online shopping cart, matches the invoice, you know, and it's like, wow, I'm not losing money. It's exactly how much you told me to charge. There's nothing held up at customs. We also have a service where we help big brands, like Hexclad is a customer. Maybe you heard of them, the frying pan company. We help them set up local operations in country. And that's a whole other set of challenges to set up local operations versus shipping something cross-border. And for us, it was all about building things step by step. We didn't launch, like what we have today, the suite of services that we have today is, I want to say, 10x the suite of services that we had day one. So I think it's just about focus and not biting off more than you can chew, so that every step of the way, we're being the best version of ourselves and able to provide a really high level of service and not just sort of winging it for customers, because this is their livelihood. At the end of the day, most e-commerce businesses, they're not, you know, venture funded or anything like that. They're owner operated. And if there's a big loss on international, it's going to distract away from the domestic business, and it's going to be that person's, that owner's personal income. So we take this very seriously.
So Chris, you're not in your head in agreement.
There's a real need. You know, like you said, who said you're not going crazy doing it? I mean, hard things shouldn't be easy. Valuable things shouldn't be easy to do, right? And I think what you're doing is providing a real service for international. Like, because right now we're in 7 countries with Dugout, and the outside of U.S., Canada, it's kind of complicated to deal with. So yeah, I'm glad we're going to connect. I actually had that note down here myself because I think there's some synergy, not to mention with my colleagues, right? But yeah, I think you're providing a pretty cool, unique service that we're in a global economy now. Cryptocurrency, blockchain, AI, you know, being scared of any of it, it's just a waste of time. You got to just learn how to adapt and how to harness it because it's here, whether we like it or not.
I agree 100% with that. Harness it. Don't let it drag you along.
We're talking to Alex Yangter with PassportGlobal.com right now. Do you have any great stories where somebody came to you freaking out and you were able to help them through their situation?
Well, in a startup, everybody's always freaking out, and we try to hire people so that they're not coming to me to solve the problem, but I'm giving them the air cover to figure out themselves. But I think one story that I can tell, I wouldn't say anybody was necessarily freaking out in this particular story, but it was just like a call to arms for us. So when we started, we're very, very small. Obviously, you're starting with one customer. We're close to 1,000 customers now, but the journey of 1,000 miles or 1,000 customer begins with one step and one customer, right? And you have this chicken and egg problem where we're trying to be like the modern day version of DHL. We're trying to harness, you know, all of those complicated pieces of the supply chain, but we don't have enough volume to go open up a warehouse, hire a bunch of warehouse workers, and engage with, you know, the fairly complicated supply chain of shipping a single parcel like this big around the world. You need a first mile to warehouse. You need the warehouse. You need to go from the warehouse to the airport. From the airport, you know, on an airplane to a country. From a country, you need to plug into a last mile network, right? All of that's very, very complicated. So a first thing that we did was we white labeled a company that was in the space. And we had to deal with the company. We said, okay, we want to build our brand. So we're going to basically tell customers that you are us and we are you, and you're not going to really surface your brand, whatever a white label, basically what a white label is, right? But we need to be in control of the logistics and operations. And the relationship was really solid, and the partner was a really good communicator, but we're just one customer. They themselves have 1,000 customers. So we're one out of 1,000 customers. And everything that we needed in order to do a good job and really reinvent internationalization and international shipping and create the kind of experience that we wanted to create, it was just impossible. They just weren't really set up to do things the way that we wanted to do them. So we had a existential question for us as a company, because we knew we weren't going to make it if we were just basically a wrapper, right? A white label around another logistics company that's only so good and is holding us back from reaching our potential. So we had a question. do we build this internally or do we buy a company, basically like an asset-based company that gets us into what we need? And we went down both routes. Not so much couldn't decide, but both routes are very risky in their own right. So we thought, let's push along both routes and go with one when we see one is working, right? So what we ended up doing is acquiring a company called Access Worldwide based in Atlanta. And the CEO of that company became the chief operating officer of Passport. And we got into the asset-based international shipping game that way. And I'm so glad we did it because the build it ourselves path, we were kind of blind leading the blind. I mean, we did hire some good people, but at the end of the day, they had never built something like this from scratch and speed running it as well because we already had customers. So fast forward, 4 years. So the first 4 years was working with the white label. And the last 4 years, we've been operating under our own network. You know, we're in three warehouses here in the U.S. We have a warehouse in U.K. But I would say every step of the way from will this deal go through to how do we transition our customers off of the white label solution onto our own proprietary network, that was, you know, fraught with risk and stress and all that. But at the end of the day, it worked out. And I'd say we're one of the biggest e-commerce shippers around the world at this point.
We're with Alex Yancer from Passport Global. Really interesting story about actually riding two parallel paths to see which one worked out. I'm just wondering, in terms of your business career, what was the risk that you thought was most worth taking?
Our very first non-technical hire, and I think it was the fourth hire in our company, was this bright-eyed young woman who was maybe 2 years into her career, having no experience in the startup world or in logistics, and became a associate at Passport. She was, I want to say, like 23, because she's been with us for 8 years now. Just this past week, she got promoted to Chief Operating Officer of Passport. I know I said that the CEO of Access Worldwide became the Chief Operating Officer. I actually misspoke. He became the Chief Commercial Officer, the CCO, because we specifically made a point. And this is what I told him, because he said naturally, I'm going to be the COO. That's my title. I said, no, you know, we're reserving that slot. This was 4 years ago. We're reserving it slot for a rising star in our company. And I don't want to peak her performance or, you know, her opportunity by giving the title, the chief operating title to you. So we're going to give you a different title. We're going to give you the chief commercial title. And he owns, you know, our network, our pricing, all of that. So he owns a lot of the business. But the daily operations was owned by somebody who is incredibly talented, but you're always taking a risk on somebody who's unproven. And that's a risk that I would say really paid off. You know, she became a core part of the leadership team. And every time our company hit a new growth mode, like we needed at some point, I'm sure everybody on this call has this experience where you don't start off the company with an HR person. That's not one of your key, you know, first 10 hires. We waited until we were 50 people before we hired our first HR person. We had like a fractional company that did, you know, onboarding, offboarding, and some other things, but we didn't have an HR person because this person who became our COO, she essentially functioned as that role. And then she hired the first one and built out the team. And then that team rolled off her, you know, and she did that a couple of times in the company where basically learned what it takes to kickstart a new function in the team, got it wrong oftentimes in the beginning, but course corrected and just had such an incredible attitude and ability to fix things that weren't working. And every step of the way, I would say, can she do this next level? Can she do this next level? Because usually the team that gets you to your first, call it 100 customers, your first 10 million, it's really not the team that gets you to 100 million. And we're doing over 100 million. In revenue at this point. It's usually a different team, but we got lucky. We got lucky with this rising star who really had the capacity to learn and adjust.
Well, that is a really great story. I don't think it was all luck. How do people find you if they want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, the best way I would say to reach out to me is my email, alex@passportglobal.com. I am fairly active on LinkedIn, especially nowadays with all the global trade things happening around the world. So I'm on LinkedIn, it's just my name, Alex Yancher, and I'm also on X. Again, just my name, Alex Hientscher.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissakat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.